Good morning. Are we doing good? All right. You know, I actually prayed for you this morning. I prayed for you as you drove here that the presence of God would permeate your vehicle, because I wanted you to be in a good mood when you got here today. But I tell you what really inspired that, and it was something from yesterday. I went by both of the laundromats on the Loads of Love thing, and when I went by West Side, there was a mom that just dropped her kids off there to do laundry, and I thought, wow. But while we were there, there's another mom that came and brought her son in, and she was chewing on him. I mean, wow. And I thought, you know, sometimes we wonder why kids rebel. She was just in a terrible way. I mean, just frowning and chewing, and her husband stayed out in the truck. I understand why now. And I thought to myself, self, before she gets out of here, we're going to make her smile. And we did. And you know what it took? Hot dogs. I mean, it's just amazing what turns moods around. I mean, next, you might try that. Hot dogs. Somebody in a bad mood, you might try hot dogs or something. But anyway, that poor son was left. She took about 3 or 4 things of hot dogs and food and went back out in the truck. And I saw her when she got in the truck, that foul spirit come over her again. And I thought, her poor kids. I don't know what she'd been through, but, you know, there are kids that live in that kind of environment. And it let me know that us going there and doing that can plant a seed in those people's lives that might make a difference. That's what we're about, sowing seed into people. And I thought, you know, we're so blessed here because we have good families. We have some good parents that are raising good kids, and they're raising them in a loving home. And I'm thinking it's awesome to be associated with people that have a purpose in their families. Amen. But there's so many that are just maybe they're in poverty, maybe they're in some kind of survival mode that just affects their whole outlook on life. And so we've got a big, big job to do in this community. We are so blessed as a church. We're so blessed as a church. We really, really are. Okay, today is going to be a different kind of message, not the kind that I like doing. I just want to say that right off the bat. But the last few weeks, I have been watching the news. Anybody been watching the news lately? Isn't it crazy? This presidential thing has got nuts. And, you know, how many of you watch the debates? Anybody watch the debates? How many of you not watch the debates? The smart ones, right? I mean, I've watched them. And I'm thinking, this is a circus. This is really a circus. And, you know, one of the things that I look at this and I'm thinking, I don't know that I really want to vote. But that's a wrong attitude. That's a wrong attitude. And that's why I want to talk to you today, not about politics, although we're going to mention some things, but it's not about who to vote for, because I know that you're smart enough to make a very informed decision and that you will vote your values, whatever your values are, that you will vote those values. But I want to talk about something today that's bigger than just political parties and political candidates, because if you look at that from the standpoint of a Christian, I haven't seen much Christianity being espoused in this campaign. But as I get into that, I want to talk about a couple of terms that we have been used to. One is called racism, and the other one is called prejudice. Now, there's a difference in racism and prejudice. Racism is hating a person based on their race. Okay? That's racism. Prejudice is a little bit different. And I want to read you a definition of the word prejudice, because we're going to go from this standpoint. Prejudice is a preconceived opinion that is not based on reason or actual experience. It's different than racism. Racism has to do with hate. Prejudice is something that we probably all deal with. Have you ever met a person and you didn't like their looks and you prejudged them? That's what prejudice comes from, two words, prejudge. It's when you prejudge something based on some kind of criteria that really has nothing to do with reason or actual experience with that person. You make a prejudiced opinion or a prejudiced judgment about that person. And I think that comes to play here in this election. I only thought there was Democrats and Republicans in this election. There's about 12 or 14 different parties that are running. And they won't all be on the same ballot, but we got Democrats, we got Republicans, we got Libertarian, we've got Green Party, and we got the Constitution Party. We also have the Socialist Party. There's all kinds of parties that are running for president. You'll probably only see three or four on our ballot. But one of the things I want you to do, let me just give you the gist of my message. Number one, vote. Number two, vote informed. Don't vote based on a prejudice, okay? And let me explain that. There are people who would not vote for a candidate who is a woman because she is a woman. That is prejudice. There is people, we see that, but right on the other hand, there are people who would vote for a candidate who is a woman because she's a woman. It's not based on reason. It's not based on experience. It's not based on knowledge of what that person stands for. It's just based on the fact that she's a woman. That's prejudice. That's prejudging. There are people who would not vote for a candidate who is a man who acts crazy. There are people who would vote for a man because he acts crazy. You see what I'm saying? So that is the definition of prejudice, prejudging. And honestly, we as Christians need to be more informed so that we can make a reasonable, logical decision that's based on what our world view of life is. And that's what I want to talk about. Right now, we're going to lay aside the Democrats. We're going to lay aside the Republicans. Hillary's back here, and Trump's back here, and all of those other guys are back here. And we're going to talk about something that is much deeper than that, because we're going to talk about the real issue. The real issue. The real issue is not a party. It's not a candidate. It is a philosophy of life. And we're seeing something that's happened in America, and it's been happening for a long time, but it is gaining more and more in strength. So what we're seeing is not necessarily the Democrats against the Republicans, but we're seeing secularism versus values. Okay? I want to define secularism, because we're seeing this creep into our government more and more and more. Secularism. Secularism is a belief system that rejects religion, or the belief that religion should not be a part of the affairs of the state or part of public education. I remember a time, can anybody remember this, when the teacher would start off the day by reading a Bible verse. Anybody remember that? You're very old. They cannot do that anymore. They could get fired for doing that. The reason for that is secularism. We have removed God or principle from our education system. Now, back in the Stone Age when I went, I won't talk about you, but back when I went, here's the things that kids got in trouble for. Here's what I got in trouble for, okay? Shooting paper wads, chewing gum, and popping girls' bra straps. That's what I got in trouble for. This is a real church here. Okay? I got my head slapped off a time or two. I'm saved now, okay? I don't do that anymore. I still chew gum. Now they've got detectors in schools because kids are bringing guns in. Kids are bringing drugs in. Could there be a correlation with taking prayer and Bible reading out of school with what we're seeing as an escalation of violence among students, where students are killing students in our classes and students are killing teachers in our classes? Is it about guns? No, it's not about guns. It's about hearts. It's about the hearts of people. It's about influence. It's kind of like what I said a while ago. What kind of chance does a kid have that lives in a strifeful home environment where there's no love, where there's no teaching, where there's no godly principles? What kind of chance does that kid have of thriving and being a good citizen in our society? His chances of being in prison, being in trouble, being all kinds of issues is going to be greater and greater and greater. Thank God you've got your children in church. Thank God that you're teaching your children godly principles. Thank God for that, because you are reducing the likelihood of your kids being on drugs, being in trouble, because you are raising them with values. Secularism wants to take all values out of the schools, out of the public institutions, out of anything that taxpayer money has anything to do with. Secularism wants to take it out. It's a philosophy. It is diametrically opposed to the Judeo-Christian values that our country was founded on. Did you know that? It is true. And there's a Trojan horse that secularism came to power in. And it's a term, and you've heard this term, and it's called the separation of church and state. Have you heard that? Oh, that separation of church and state. I never will forget when back in the day, and this is really silly, back in the day, they used to hold the elections in, this is the Ashley Township here, and they would hold the elections down here at the fire department. The fire department's that way now, but it was down here. So we petitioned the election commission to move it here because we got a bigger parking lot. We got a big foyer out there. It's handicap accessible. The bathrooms are handicap accessible. We have a good place for our workers to eat lunch. It just made more sense that to having it here than that little cramped building, because they were parking out on the highway. And you know what one of the objections was? Separation of church and state. Did you know this? That the term separation of church and state is nowhere in our Constitution. It's not. It's not there. In fact, let me tell you where it came from. It came from a letter written by Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist Association in 1802. Now, you may understand part of this. It said, and in it, there's this paragraph talking to this Danbury Baptist Association. Believing with you that religion is a matter which lies solely between man and his God, that he owes account to none other for his faith or his worship, that the legitimate powers of government reach actions only and not opinions, I contemplate with sovereign reverence the act of the whole American people, which declared that their legislature should make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, thus building a wall of separation between church and state. That's where that term came from, separation of church and state. Next time somebody throws that in your face, say, where is that at? They think it's in Constitution. It's not. It's not part of our Constitution. In fact, what our Constitution says is that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. There is no state religion. We have freedom of religion. Or prohibit the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of a people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievance. So it says there that government is not going to get involved in that in any way. They're not going to make any laws prohibiting worship, regulating worship. They're not going to establish a church. Thank God we don't need the government in church. They goof up everything else. They'd goof church up too. We don't want them. We don't want religion taught in our schools. But let me tell you, there's a difference in religion and principles. There are things that are pretty consistent through the major religions of the world, and that is their guiding principles, how you treat your fellow human being. Don't steal. Don't kill. You know, those are principles that are fundamental. And they have to do with people being able to get along with each other. We need people getting along. But secularism says we're going to take all of that out. And they have. In fact, I encourage you to do this. There's a website, First Liberty Institute, showed some cases that have been filed against individuals on the basis of separation in church and state. Number one, a high school football coach suspended for praying after football games. Because he's a government employee, he can't pray with his team. Hogwash. Do it anyway. What does that have to do with separation of church and state? In fact, I was looking at some stuff this morning after the great win over Ole Miss. They showed a little video of Brett Bielema coming down, you know, after the game, and he was high-fiving and hugging, and he goes into his team, and he's encouraging them, and he says, "All right, let's kneel." They all knelt down. He prayed. He may get fired, you reckon, for praying with his team? It's a public institution. He shouldn't have that right to do that according to secularism, according to the concept of separation of church and state. That is utter hogwash. That is what we are facing. That is what we're dealing with. It starts in the institutions of government. It starts in the institutions of other things, but it'll creep its way out into other things, and it already has. Another case, a Marine was court-martialed for refusing to take down a Bible verse. A Bible verse. Dear God, we would hate to poison somebody's heart with a Bible verse. An Orthodox Jewish synagogue was sued by the government for meeting in a private home. Wow. Does that sound like government shall make no laws regarding the freedom of religion? It sounds like they are intruding. Secularism is trying to change our culture. Another one. Veterans were prohibited from practicing Native American faith rituals in a Virginia center. Now, see, our laws, the exercise of free religion is not just about Christianity, it's about religion. And even those rights need to be protected, even of people that we disagree with. I remember a few years ago, I got criticized for this, but that's all right. I got criticized. A few years ago, the vegans, was that what they called? Vegans? They wanted to use down by the river. Yeah, that place down there, the city park down there. And they scheduled a convention down there or a meeting down there, and people got up in arms. Christians got up in arms. They were bombarding Facebook and what's that other thing used to be? Topics and all of those kind of things. And people were speaking out. And I got criticized for not speaking out. And I thought, you know what? I may not agree with what they do, but as an American, they have the right to practice their form of religion, whatever it is. And if we deny them the right to do that, we also are saying that we should deny ourselves that right. What we're basically saying is that we don't want anybody we disagree with to have any special rights. Listen, if we're going to have freedom of religion, we got to have freedom of religion as Americans, okay? I don't agree with what they were doing. I don't agree. I think they are cultish. I don't think they're of God, but they have that right, according to the Constitution, to do that. And Christians were up in arms, and they looked bad. But let me tell you what somebody did, and I salute him to this day. Ronnie Toone. Anybody who know Ronnie Toone is? He is the director of the Independence Baptist Association, Southern Baptist, okay? Southern Baptist. He got their cooker, and he went down to the park, and he set up, and he cooked hamburgers and hot dogs and had a table with Bibles on it and just loved on those people. And I thought, you rascal, I wish I had thought of that. Oh! Now, he got criticized, but that's okay. See, that's their right as Americans to do that. See, that's what we're talking about. So this is not just an attack against Christianity. This is an attack against any kind of religious expression. Cheerleaders are stopped from writing Bible verses on cheer banners. They could write things like, kill the pioneers, or kill the Southerners, but they can't write, for God so loved the world. See, what's wrong with us? What is wrong with us? There's a philosophy that has slipped into our culture. It's secularism, and it's anti-God, and it's against the expression of that. And it goes beyond government. They want to tell you what you can and can't do. Okay, here's another. Here's the last one. The state of Iowa published a brochure defining churches as places of public accommodation and claiming that the state has the power to control what the church teaches regarding matters of gender and sexuality. And now they're saying is, we have to approve of your sermons. What does the First Amendment say? The government shall make no laws restricting the freedom of religion. Hey, you can be against something without hating people. I'm against homosexuality, but I don't hate homosexuals. There's a lot of things that I'm against, but I don't hate people, okay? It's not hate speech. It's talking about what is designed by God. And that's the thing that we need to be able to represent as the Church of Jesus Christ. I want to talk about one of the fundamental rights that our founding fathers said that we had. The people who gave us the Constitution, and they recognize, and here's one of their founding principles, that rights come from God, not government. That's huge. Secularism wants to say rights come from government because there is no God. We have unalienable rights that have been given to us by our Creator. And if our government, and it's headed in the opposite direction of that, when we get away from that, we in our nation are in trouble. So what we're not dealing with today is Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump. We're dealing with a whole philosophy out here that is anti-God. Anti-God. I just kind of happen to believe that we're living in the last days and that the world is spiraling in that direction. But you know what one of our jobs is to hold that off as long as we can. We're supposed to occupy till he comes, and we're supposed to be the resisting factor of that until he takes us home. I tell you what, when he takes the church home, it's going to be hell here. It's going to be hell on the earth. The whole system is spiraling that way, but we've got to be resistant. You cannot do that by being indifferent. What do Christians need to do? Number one, you need to vote. Oh, my vote won't matter. You know, 20-something million evangelicals stayed home last time. 26 million votes do matter. You could run for office. Do we need Christians in office? We sure do. I know one city councilman who is a Christian. She's sitting in the third row right here. I remember going to her and I said, yeah. I remember going to her and say, Paige, there's an opportunity coming up. I think you ought to pursue it. She did, and she's been a good influence on our city where that's concerned. We need Christians on the city council. We need Christians on the Supreme Court. Yeah, we do that too. The quorum court. I think that quorum court may be the Supreme Court. But anyway, we need Christians on school boards, people who can stand up and say, hey, no, I'm not supporting that. People that will stand up for what's right. See, Christians need to stand up. And there's ways that you can do that other than getting on Facebook and I'm not going to say that word. It rhymes with itching. Okay, I'm just going to say that. It just rhymes with itching. That does little good. Do something. Put your feet out and do something. Make a difference. Help me, Jesus. I need it. One of the other things that our founding fathers did for us is they gave us a written constitution. And it's based on Judeo-Christian values. Now, that does not exclude Muslims. That does not exclude other people. But because many of them have the same values. Now, there are some atheistic religions that do not have that value. But America was built on the Judeo-Christian tradition. The principles. And they're good. And they're still good. But secularism wants to wipe that out. So one of the gifts that our founding fathers gave us was a written constitution. I want to talk about three or four little issues here. Because here's what I'd like for you to do. I would like for you to go to Google this week. Now, I preached this several weeks before the election so that you'll have time to become informed. I don't want you to be prejudiced in who you vote for. I don't want you to prejudge. I don't want it to be on personality. I don't want it to be on gender. Either way, I want it to be on principle. Who represents your principles? They may not live them out in their personal lives because we see two very flawed characters that are running for, and I think those are the only two that have a chance. Now, I know there's other parties that are getting their names in there, and maybe in the next generation one of those parties will become strong, but I don't think in this election it's going to make a big difference. So we're dealing with two individuals that are, could I just say without being, they're just questionable about lots of things in their lives. And it's very confusing to us as Christians. So what we need to do is we need to go in and we need to Google. I would Google the Democratic platform compared to the Republican platform, maybe the Libertarian platform or the Green platform, and see who it is that represents your worldview. Your worldview. See, I'm not even telling you what your worldview is. I know what mine is. I've tried to base mine on the Bible. I may not have done it perfectly, but I've tried to do that. But there's some issues that I want you to look into. And these are things that I think that are important, and I hope you think they're important too. I'm not telling you which side you should stand on. I want to, but I'm not going to. Just like I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. Now, if you want to come ask me who you're going to vote for, I'll tell you. But I'm not telling you from here, okay? I'm not here to try to influence you for a particular candidate. I'm trying to influence you to vote your values. Not your party, not your prejudice, but your values. One of the great issues I think that's facing us today is the definition of marriage. Can I just say that marriage is not a state institution? The state did not invent marriage. God started marriage. God is for marriage. God is the one who defined marriage, what it is and what it's for. And the purpose of marriage is for two individuals, a male and a female, to have children and to build families. And family is something that God instituted. But can I tell you, secularism will tear both to pieces. It'll tear both to pieces. So we need to look and see what the different platforms are of the parties and what they represent, what they say they represent. And we need to make an informed decision. Who aligns with my worldview? The second one is the right to life. I think that's huge. That is and I'm narrow-minded, okay? I'm very narrow-minded when it comes to this. I'm not voting for someone who kills babies. I'm just not doing it. If you want to do that, that's between you and God. But I believe in the right to life. So what do they stand for? What do they stand for? What does each platform stand for? Which one best represents my values? If I believe in pro-choice, I know who to vote for, okay? Well, I got two or three choices there. So I know that I need to look and see who represents my values. Here's another one that's not spiritual at all, but really it is, and it's called the national debt. You know how much money we owe? $19 trillion. Now, I got to figuring this out. A million is 1,000. I can't even figure out what a million is. It's 1,000,000. That's right. Million is 1,000,000. I could give 1,000 people $1,000, and that's $1,000,000. You want that? We got more. We don't have that many here today. What is a billion? It's 1,000,000,000. What's a trillion? It's 1,000,000,000,000. You could give 1,000 people $1,000,000,000. That's a lot of people that you could make billionaires to be a trillion. So we owe $19 trillion. Our last two presidents, which one was a Republican, one was a Democrat. This is disheartening. The debt doubled under them. Why is that important? Well, we just keep printing money. Well, that's part of the problem. You try that. They send your tail to jail for counterfeiting. If you could, okay? It may not affect me in my lifetime because I'm old. But what about my kids? What about my grandkids? What about my great grandkids? What if in the next two administrations it doubles again and it's $38 trillion? Somewhere we've got to do something to control spending. You have to do that. I have to do that. We have to do that as a church. Why doesn't our nation have to do that? That's a stewardship thing. And therefore it is a spiritual thing, but in a sense it's not. Another one is our religious freedom. And I just cited several instances where religious freedom was infringed on by government. They do not have the right to do that. Secularism. So we need to find people who have those values. Now, then there's the Supreme Court justices. The next president will probably appoint three or four. There's one pending right now. Three or four. Do you want somebody in there that's going to legislate or somebody that's going to interpret the Constitution? You have to decide that. What's important to you? Do you want somebody making laws? I know one party has said, now we're going to only put people in there that supports our agenda. And they name their agenda. The other one says, okay, we're going to put people in there that interpret the Constitution and do not legislate. See, we have three parts of our government that are supposed to work in balance with one another. Our Supreme Court is out of control right now, and they need to be brought back into control. That needs to be something that it's important to us if we value our Judeo-Christian ethics. Amen. So, I'm done. Oh, I have not enjoyed this message a bit. I have not. I don't like talking like this, but my heart is disturbed. For weeks, I have mulled this over. I have thought about this. I have prayed about this. And I just want to end with a couple of quotes. Abraham Lincoln. I love Abraham Lincoln. Wish we could elect him. Elections belong to the people. It's their decision. If they decide to turn their backs on the people and burn their behinds, then they will have to sit on their own blisters. That's pretty good. And that's what we've done. When a big majority of evangelicals do not vote, you don't have a right to complain at all. If you don't vote your interest, who will? Then this one. Apathy gets you the government we have today. And that's why you cannot be discouraged because of what you're seeing in this election. Indifferent, confused, apathy. Go find what represents your values and then vote those values. Whether they agree with my values or not, you vote your values. Amen? All right. Say this with me. I still love Brother David. Don't be cranky, okay? Only one person here today can be cranky. And she done told me she is. So she was cranky before she got here. I'm not going to tell who that is, but she's sitting right next to... No, I'm not going to say that. she will get cranky with me then. Honestly, do your research. Do your homework. Vote smart. If you need to know what that is, let me... No, I'm kidding. Let's end this with worship. Can we do that? Would y'all stand together? I appreciate our worship team so much. They do such an awesome job. I know we got a couple gone today, but you know what? They just step in and they bring it to the same level. So praise God for that. Let's worship.